Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I had the chance to talk with pianist Simona Dinnerstein about making music and recording in Cuba. Her CD, Mozart in Havana, includes Mozart's 21st and 23rd piano concertos and was recorded with a Havana Lyceum orchestra. Your interest in Cuba goes way back. I understand you had a piano teacher when you were 9 who was from Cuba.
Yes, Solomon Mikofsky taught me at the Manhattan School of Music Prep Division from when I was 9 until I graduated from high school. And he is Cuban. So that's how I first heard about Cuba, was everything that he used to tell me about it. And then he created a piano festival in Havana in 2013 and invited me to come perform on it. And that's how I wound up meeting the Havana Lyceum Orchestra. So it's really because of him.
What kind of stories would he tell you when you were growing up about Cuba?
Well, he talked about how, you know, the concert halls would be packed and that people just absolutely loved going to concerts and hearing piano recitals, and, you know, they wouldn't let people leave the stage. And I think that he himself was of Polish-Jewish descent. His parents were immigrants, and I guess there were quite a lot of immigrants in Cuba that brought their own traditions to the island as well.
What made you want to do this recording in particular?
When I went to play with the Havana Lyceum Orchestra, I played the Mozart Concerto in A major, Kerschel 488, which is on the recording. And I was so in love with the way that they played it. It was amazing. And I thought, well, we have to do a recording of Mozart together. And these two concertos are ones that I've lived with for a long time, and they're two of my favorite concertos, and I think they go really beautifully together. And so that was how it all came about. I thought, you know, it'd be amazing to record with them.
Could you talk a little bit about the Havana Lyceum Orchestra, what their history is and what their repertoire had been?
Yes, so their conductor, Jose Padron, created the orchestra. I think it might be like 10 years old, maybe less. It's comprised of mostly conservatory students in their 20s, as well as some recent graduates, and a few of their young teachers, too, are in the orchestra. And they are as large as a symphony orchestra, or they condense down to being a chamber orchestra like they are on the recording. And they're just an incredibly high-quality orchestra, and have a great work ethic and are a real community. And I think you can really hear that in their playing. What I liked the most about their playing is that they listen. And so they listen to each other, they listen to me. And so every change that took place in the music created a response in them. And while that might sound kind of something that you would take for granted as a given that you would respond to every change in the music, it really doesn't happen all that much. I mean, it takes
Wow.
a lot of awareness and sensitivity and really listening hard to sense all of the changes that take place from measure to measure. And in Mozart's music, it's so changeable. I mean, it's really like, you know, one measure can have two or three different types of feelings in it. And they were extremely sensitive to all of that.
Does the lens of different cultures affect how you play music? I heard you talking about Bach, actually, and how you can make it your own and play it the way you feel is the right way for you to interpret it. Is that influenced by where you're playing it or the culture of the people you're collaborating with?
You know, I think that that's a very complicated question. Classical musicians think a lot about this type of thing. They think about performance practice, the tradition of learning. You know, for instance, another teacher that I studied with, Maria Curcio, could trace her lineage in terms of teaching back to Beethoven. And so we think a lot about where do we come from, how close are we to the source, you know?
Right.
And yet, at the same time, I think all of that is imaginary, and it doesn't matter where you're from. I mean, I've played with musicians who are from China, who really have no link to Western classical music, and play with the utmost sensitivity and insight into the music. So I think that, in my opinion, music transcends those differences, and I don't think it's important to look for a cultural connection. I think the thing that's important to look at is the music itself.
So what was your takeaway after doing this, recording this with this orchestra, and what story do you hope the CD will tell to people who pick it up and listen to it?
I felt that I really learned so much by playing with them because of their sensitivity. And I also felt that the commitment to an ideal that they had and that I have in terms of rehearsing, we just rehearsed so much. I feel like that's something that I hope can inspire people to do that themselves. You can hear it in the recording, just the subtleties that we were able to achieve by having worked together on it in such a close way. So for me, it's an inspiration to try to keep doing projects with musicians who feel like that, the way that I do. I think that there are musicians all over the world who have very high ideals about how they want to approach playing music. And these musicians in Havana really inspired me to keep going with that.
And I understand the recording itself was somewhat of an experience in terms of the conditions.
Yes. Well, I mean, they don't really have a recording studio large enough for an orchestra. So we had to use a church. It was a beautiful old church in old Havana, but you could really hear noise from the outside. So we had to do it, the recordings, in the middle of the night from around 11 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. I was worried about that because I'm a morning person. I'm not a night person. And I was also kind of concerned about them because they were young people. I thought, I didn't know if they would have the stamina, but they really did. And it was also extremely hot and humid because we had to turn off any air conditioning during the recording. So sometimes we were bothered by flies. Like we had, you could hear flies on the mic. We'd have to wait for them to go away. And towards morning, we started hearing birdsong. So there were all sorts of interesting noises that took place. But there was just a lot of character to the whole experience.
I think there's a lot of interest in Cuba now, too, now that more people are going back and forth. So it sounds like a joyful enterprise.
It was a really joyful enterprise. I think that, it's something that I'll treasure forever. And I'm very excited that I'm going to be bringing them to the United States in June for a tour of the East Coast. Actually, we'll be playing in Philadelphia, so that'll be exciting.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Susan. Nice talking with you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.